8:03 on a Friday. Happy Friday. It's Alfred and Bruff Show, Sportsnet 650. So I had my first master's nap yesterday. Came home after the show. Got on the couch. Turned on the golf. Watched maybe, like an hour and a half of it. And then I'm like, first of all, I was sitting on the couch. Then I was like, I'm just going to lie down a little bit on the couch. And then the sun started coming in the windows. And I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't good. The Masters music was playing. I'm lying down on a couch. Boom. Fell asleep with the golf still on. And when I woke up, I'm like, I wonder what's happened with what's going on Twitter-wise. And I open Twitter and I'm like, well, something's going on because everyone's going crazy right now. And then I saw the news about Tanner Pearson. It hadn't been officially announced yet, but the report was out about the Tanner Pearson contract. And then I saw a Twitter meltdown. So that was fun. That was just a kind of a typical day as a Vancouver sports fan. Dan Murphy is going to join us now. Dom is doing the McClutchy thing of chatting with Murph and going, hey, how's it going? While I'm treading water over here talking about sleeping on the couch. Murph is ready now, Dom? Okay. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Jace?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm looking at the weather, especially for next week, and we need to golf soon because there's going to be no Canucks until at least the week after. So we need to take advantage of that. Maybe we'll talk about the Masters a bit during this chat, but I think we do need to talk about the Tanner Pearson signing because Jim Benning is going to address the media today with a press conference at 10. What would be the big question that you would have for Jim Benning about the Tanner Pearson signing?
My question would be, why did you feel you had to sign this contract right now, I guess? Why was time of the essence? Especially considering we saw what happened in free agency last year, the flat cap, the pandemic. I think we all know it's a buyer's market. So my question would be, you know, why did you feel the urgency to sign this deal now? Now, he might say, listen, you know, everybody made fun of me last year because I said, you know, I ran out of time trying to sign Toffoli or Stetch or whoever, and I didn't want to run out of time on this one because, you know, I value him as a player and what he brings. And I'm guessing that's going to be his answer, but I just think that the biggest question is right now, why? I mean, I'd like to know the cost certainty of Pettersson and Hughes first, especially since you've signed Demko already. And I like Tanner Pearson. You know, I think that in a vacuum, this contract is okay, but it's just the pattern of it, of having multiple contracts like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's been the biggest, you know, gripe of Canucks fans the last few seasons is that the bottom six is bloated, right? There's dead money. There's too much money spent on bottom six guys. And Benning himself said in 2 years he expects his team to be very, very competitive. Well, when this team is very, very competitive, you'd have to think that Tanner Pearson is not going to be a top six player. So I guess, you know, I'm no different from most people criticizing it. But those would be my initial thoughts.
Dan Murphy is a presentation of David L. Young of Dexter Realty. I think your thoughts there are kind of in line with everyone's. The Canucks' perspective is that Tanner Pearson is a good guy in the room. We've heard that before. He's a leader. He's a real pro. It feels like the Canucks were really rattled by the departures of Tanev and Markstrom and Toffoli, because they seem to be thinking that maybe not just on ice, but in the room and around the room, those departures really threw them for a loop and was the big reason that they struggled out of the gates and kind of buried themselves early in this season.
And listen, I understand that, but if we're talking about learning from past mistakes, and obviously I think there's merit to that. I mean, when you lose Tanev and Markstrom from your room, I mean, that's going to create a void of leadership, a void of voices, important voices. But, you know, I'll just say, when the Sedins left, the player they signed because they were worried about a lack of leadership for the younger players, the player they signed was Jay Beagle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this kind of feels like the same type of thing. Obviously, I think that Tanner Pearson overall is a better player than Jay Beagle when they brought Beagle in, especially at that point in his career. But it kind of feels like the same thing over again. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm never going to discount leadership and what, you know, what good guys can do for a room and setting an example for younger players. I don't think anybody should totally roll their eyes at that. I mean, we saw what happened at Edmonton for the longest time, right? With top pick after top pick after top pick, and never really brought in the right veteran players to cultivate those guys.
But they did bring in veterans. They brought in Ferentz and made him captain, and didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, I mean, the whole thing with he's won before, I think you have to have the right guys that won before.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not saying that Tanner Pearson is not the right guy. I'm just saying that this kind of feels like something we've seen before. And I've always said, like, toughness and leadership to me is great, but you don't overpay for toughness or leadership if toughness or leadership can't play.
What confuses me sometimes is why the guy signing the check isn't getting really frustrated with giving millions and millions of dollars to guys who are playing in the bottom six or not even playing at all.
Yeah.
Well, and I know it's always like, we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but for me, that's just like, I guess I don't know why he's received, Jim Benning I'm talking about, such steadfast support from ownership.
Well, I mean, clearly, I mean, I think we can say that these last couple contracts, the Demko one last, but this contract might, the signing of it might, you know, give us a glimpse into the fact that Benning is likely around next season.
Mm-hmm.
Because ownership is agreeing with this vision or plan that Benning is telling them. And I think most fans would say, what plan? But clearly there's a relationship there. And, you know, and especially now hopefully coming out of the pandemic soon, but the owner is willing to scratch a couple checks now. He is listening to what Benning's saying and agreeing with what he's saying. But I'm with you. I mean, I think you have to look at, and I think you could probably throw Myers in there too, that when you're overpaying people at the bottom of your roster, whether it's third pair guys or bottom six players, you can't just say, oh, well, it's not going to hurt us when we need those dollars, we'll have them. Well, I think the last couple of seasons has proved that theory incorrect.
When do you think this team, when do you think they could be kind of locked and loaded to go on a run? Do you see a window? Because maybe it's not next season, but the season after that, I know there's a lot of contracts coming off the books. Roussel, Beagle, I guess. I get a little confused when I look at the cap friendly because there's a lot of contracts. But then I also think, you know, if they're locked and loaded there, then you're kind of like, well, Tyler Myers is going to be, what, 33 then? And he'll have 2 years left at $6 million. Even Nate Schmidt, he's 29 now, might have started to slow down by then. I want to see, like, a window where, all right, this is the time they could really, really go for it. And I'm having trouble finding that window, especially with the, I would call a lack of prospects in the system that are really getting, like, we got Podkolzin and there's Rathbone. And then after that,
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I think you have to say that if you believe in Pettersson and you believe in Hughes and you believe in Besser and you believe in Horvat and maybe Podkolzin and Hoglander to a lesser extent, then I think you have to say that your window for this group begins not next season. I think we can agree with that, but the season after, or perhaps really in earnest the season after that. That's what I would say.
So that would be 10 years of Benning by then, right?
Yep. But again, you have to make sure at that point that you have signed the right pieces around them. That's why I don't mind, like, you know, I don't want to say punt on next season. I don't think you ever want to do that. You know, you don't ever want to put your players in a position where they think that not succeeding is okay, right? But I think you can still go about it by not tying up a whole bunch of cap, and it's okay to have some cap free next season, right?
Yes.
Like, it's okay.
It's fine. You want to be open for opportunities.
Exactly. You want to be able to take advantage when situations are there, and you can't if you're right up against the cap. And so, you know, I think to your question, the short answer is not next season, the season after, and probably really the season after that, because then you're getting up to where Bo Horvat is closing on 30, right? And that's your captain. So that is what the answer for this group has to be. Whether or not it happens remains to be seen.
Murph, I want to get back to the beginning of the season and just the attitude around the club and how quickly it went from positive from the bubble, where most people were very, very, including myself, were very, very impressed with how the Canucks handled themselves. I'm not saying that they played like Stanley Cup contenders, but man, they fought for each other. They sacrificed for each other. They never gave up. They're a resilient bunch. To the beginning of the season where they were the complete opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
What other explanations besides the departure of Tanev and Markstrom could you have for that? Because Pettersson didn't look himself. Quinn Hughes he put up points, but defensively, I mean, he was one of the worst of the bunch, and there was a lot of people on the back end that were not good defensively. But I'm wondering if Pettersson and Hughes were just feeling like they were just maybe feeling differently about the season, like it wasn't as fun there, and then they got down on themselves, and what maybe the Canucks can do to give them a surge of enthusiasm, because I think they might need it.
Yeah, well, I think there's probably a number of factors, and we don't have to go through the ones that we know that coaching and manager will say. And I don't think they're excuses. I do think they're reasons. I do think the turnover, I do think, I'm not going to go all over this again, but I do think the lack of practice. I also think that, you know, perhaps, you know, maybe the younger players and maybe some of the older players assumed that play from the bubble would just carry on early season. Assumed that their game would be at the same level that it was at the end of last season. And let's not forget, they beat Minnesota, which was a fine win. But, you know, you look at what Minnesota is now.
Mm-hmm.
It took advantage of a St. Louis team that wasn't at its best and the goaltending wasn't great, but you still had to win. And you won some of those games in very impressive fashion.
Yes.
And then you dug your heels in against a Vegas team that was clearly better, but goaltending kept you afloat. And I think everybody overvalues playoff runs in terms of assessing a team, right? And maybe the players overvalued what that run was too and thought that this season might be a little bit easier than it was. And when it started poorly, they couldn't regroup. They couldn't recover. They couldn't. You know, they didn't have the practice time to work on those details. And then also, let's not forget, remember one of the big, I guess, theories last year in the bubble was that once a team got down, they might be like, well, this season's kind of whack. Let's get out of here. This doesn't feel normal. Let's get to the summer. Well, you know, you can't tell me that this season has been a lot of fun, especially when you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be disheartening. It's got to be tough to get your spirits up, to find the energy to want to win, to want to fight through when you're constantly quarantined, you can't do anything. Again, it's not an excuse, but it could be a reason. So I think there's just a number of factors that when a season started going sideways, you could look as to why for this team.
Travis Green, I'm sure that name will come up today at Jim Benning's press conference. I wonder what Travis Green thinks when he sees Tanner Pearson getting a contract that a lot of fans are thinking, wow, that's a bit of an overpay. They gave Thatcher Demko a decent-sized contract. Thatcher Demko is earned that contract with his play this season, and he's an up-and-comer. And I don't think people had as big a problem with that contract as they did with Pearson. But Travis Green doesn't have a contract for next season. Where do you see that going? And what is the – you know, some people thought that Travis Green isn't signed because ownership wasn't sure about Jim Benning. So maybe yeah. Jim Benning won't be back and a new GM will decide on the coach. But now, having talked through this with the Pearson contract, you know, our conclusion, and you kind of said it, was like, I think Jim's still going to be around because he's negotiating these yeah. contracts. So where does that leave Travis Green?
Well, because that was kind of my theory, too, as to why it wasn't happening. Not so much the not so much the financial uncertainty. But maybe more the uncertainty of what the front office would look like moving forward and not wanting to commit to a coach long-term when you didn't know if the GM would be the same. And there might be still some truth to that, right? Maybe Jim gets another year and you don't – Travis is going to want at least 3 years, right? I mean, obviously, he's going to want three.
Sure.
So now, I mean, I would think that if our kind of theory here is right, that with Benning now signing some of these deals and money being available, and we're hearing also perhaps that buyouts are going to be available, I would think that the time to move, I think that there should be movement on a coach now. Benning has always said, right, whenever asked, that we believe Travis is the right guy to lead this forward. So now if Jim's in charge and we think he's going to be in charge next season, then I think that we should see a contract soon. If ownership is not as convinced about Travis and his staff, then maybe that'll be the reason why we don't see it. But I think if Benning's the guy in charge and he still believes Travis is the guy, I don't see any reason why a coaching contract shouldn't be signed soon. And that's not for Travis, but what about Ian Clark as well?
Right.
Indeed, that ship hasn't sailed. But, you know, Kevin's far more in tune with that than I am.
I don't want to read the Dunbar Lumber text line if Ian Clark walks away, because I thought Judd Brackett, the whole Judd Brackett saga, was bad enough. Murph, Rosie was on fire at Augusta yesterday. I don't know how much you watched. Is he? Do you think he'll three rounds to go? He's got a pretty good cushion already. Do you think he'll hang on there, or do you think someone else is primed to make a run? It's pretty hard to say at this point. I know.
Yeah, it's too much runway. Like, there's big numbers out there, right? Like, if he shoots even par today, I'll be really impressed. I haven't looked at the conditions today. Like, I know they're expecting some rain, so maybe it's going to be a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to make a big number here or there, and then he's going to feel some pressure. The guy hasn't played in a month, but that was impressive. I mean, the course itself, the greens were already brown. I'd love to see no rain. I'd love to see what would happen. just because, I mean, David Duval said, I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday, I'm paraphrasing, but I could let you hit all 18 greens, right? I'll give you all 18 greens, but you let me place the ball on the green in relation to where the pin is, and you won't break 80. In fact, you might not break 85.
How many cocktails would I need to not yip at Augusta? Would I have to be like blackout?
Well, probably. But how much fun would that be, though? Like, I mean, it would be so much fun to be putting into the water from the back of 15 to a front pin. Like, it'd be just so much fun. I'd enjoy it.
What do you think you'd shoot?
From the back tees?
They're doing, like, say the conditions yesterday, from the back tees, what do you think you'd shoot?
Oh, God.
Would you break 100? Do you think you could break 100 on your best day?
Oh, on my best day, yes.
Yeah.
But I think you'd have to play the course a few times.
Right.
Yeah, I think on your best day you could break 100. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think if you just went out and played it, I mean, if I had a bet that was to break 100, I would play the course much different than if I was just going out and trying to shoot my best round, right?
Right.
On the par fours, I'd be hitting, you know, rescue off and then, you know, a 7-iron.
7-iron, 7-iron, 7-iron.
Yeah, exactly. If I was having to try to break 100, that's the kind of stuff I would do. And you might shoot a better round than if you were just trying to shoot your best round and, you know, making quads and mm-hmm. you know, quintuple bogeys.
Well, let's do it, buddy. You should join. You should apply.
I don't know if they would let me in, but I've never been there because of hockey season. Obviously, it's always been
mm-hmm.
over the Masters. I've never been able to cover it. I'm going to go there at some point. Whether or not I can ever play it, I don't know. That would be a lifelong dream. I think that's the one course. If you told me I could play right now, that'd be it.
Totally, for me too. Yeah.
But But I am going to go there, whether as a fan or as a reporter or as not as a competitor. I know that, but just I have to show up there because I really want to see the undulation and what people talk about in terms of how amazing that course is.
I've had some buddies go and they said it was unbelievable just to see it all in action, and also that it is exhausting to walk, like running around the course. Anyway, maybe one day, buddy.
Yeah, maybe they'll let you take a cart.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Nice chat, Murph.
Okay, Jace. Take care, buddy.
Talk to you later. Bye. Dan Murphy, Sportsnet 650. Dan Murphy on Sportsnet 650 was brought to you by David L. Young of Dexter Realty. Here, there, everywhere. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Just a reminder that Jim Benning is going to address the media at 10 a.m. this morning. We will carry that press conference live on Sportsnet 650, and it could be an interesting one. First of all, from the COVID situation, but also from a hockey perspective, the media is going to have a lot of questions. I might even hop on this Zoom and ask a question. Here's the question that I would like to ask Jim Benning, and it's not like a pertinent, it's nothing to do with Tanner Pearson, but my question would be, does Jim Benning see the expansion draft as an opportunity for the Canucks? Especially on the back end where you do have some protection spots open, you don't have to protect Quinn Hughes. So right now, I think if you were to put together a protection list, I think you'd probably protect Nate Schmidt. I think Jim Benning will protect Tyler Myers, although a lot of Canucks fans wouldn't. And then it would be Olli Juhlevi. So you're kind of like, you're not really worried at all. That's an Olli Juhlevi spot. That's open to me. If you can get a good defenseman from a team that cannot protect those defensemen, then that is an opportunity. But does management see it that way? Are they thinking that way? And will the Canucks have the cap space to add a good young defenseman? Jim Benning at 10 a.m. We will carry that live on Sportsnet 650. About half hour to go in the Halford and Brough Show. Get your What We Learns in. Get your Ask Us Anythings in. Text them in. 650, 650, Sportsnet 650.
So yeah, we can't let this happen. It's 49.3 for the yeses. We can't let it go to the morning, Dan.
Yeah, you can.
No, please, we can't.
Please.
I love this idea of like, it's our intellectual property. Meanwhile, it's for the people. It's all about the people. But when it's taken away from you, it's our intellectual property, guys. Nobody else can have it.
Oh, hey, we're proud of the people's game. That's what it comes down to. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
Jason Brothers' people, Dom Shimadi's people.
Barely. When is this password nonsense going to be over?
Today, actually. Okay. And an updated tally on
this
the polling.
This is a close vote.
It really is.
This is like Brexit.
There is 8 hours left in voting up at Sportsnet 650 on Twitter. It is split 49.8 for the yeses, 50.2 for the noes. We're
it
essentially
just changed. It's 50.1 to 49.9.
Oh my gosh.
Now.
It's essentially 50-50. This is going to come down to a recount, I'm guessing.
You know what poll question isn't close?
Tell us.
Ours.
Yeah.
The Halford and Brough poll question: what is your level of faith in Canucks management, high, medium, or low? Low. There's been 1,800 votes. Low has 85%.
You have brought the house of negativity upon this place.
I feel like it's not our fault.
Probably not entirely.
No. It's probably the team. 2%. Just 2% have high faith in Canucks management. And, of course, Jim Benning will meet the media, talk to the media. Zoom press conference at 10 a.m. He'll address the COVID situation. I'm sure one of the questions will be, like, is there anything you could have done differently? And also, when will the guys be healthy enough to play again? When do you expect to play? What has the league said? Next Saturday seems to be a target date when the Canucks host the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know if that's realistic. I have no idea. And that's why Jim Benning is holding a press conference. Of course, there's going to be a lot more questions about the Tanner Pearson contract and to a lesser extent, the Thatcher Demko contract. How have negotiations gone for Hughes and Petey? How do you plan to improve the team? What's the trade deadline going to look like, et cetera, et cetera? This press conference could go all day if the media let it. Let's print out some submissions to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Ask us anything and what we learns. Ask us anything. What would be the most saleable Halford and Brough NFT moment? Non-fungible tokens, is that what it is?
Correct.
Okay.
A digital asset, essentially.
I heard Tom Brady is getting into the game.
Yeah.
He's going to launch a business. Everyone's just making money right now.
Chris Johnston is selling his tweets as NFTs.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that the most saleable NFT moment, you could turn a podcast into an NFT,
you
right?
You could. You know what the most saleable moment is?
How about the first Curtain Blog show?
That's saleable.
Yeah.
You know what really is saleable?
What?
The Moo Cow. I'm telling you, there are some loyal humanoids out there.
Someone else created that Moo Cow, though, right?
But is it our Moo Cow?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different because it features on our show. Maybe yeah. You sell the first ever Moo Cow on the Halford and Brough show. And I'm telling you, humanoids would eat that up. Someone would buy it, 100%.
How much of this NFT stuff is just going to turn out to be absolute nonsense? I get the art part.
Well, that's just the thing. Like, how can
I get the digital art part?
Yeah,
but there's a lot of moments that have happened in the world. You can't just turn them all into NFTs, right?
But it's not so much the moments; it's the thing you're buying, right? Like, if you want to purchase the first ever file of a song, that song holds value, no matter mm-hmm. you know.
No, I know. The value is as much as someone else will pay for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But sometimes those markets collapse.
That's very true.
Right. And I think right now, there's a lot of cash out there. Believe it or not, there's a lot of rich people with ample cash, and they're looking at the stock market, and they're looking at every market, real estate market, and going, where am I going to get my returns? Because everything else is looking a little bit bubbly. How about this non-fungible token or Bitcoin or whatever? I don't know. That'd be a good problem to have, eh? Like, I have so much money, I just don't know where to put it. Oh, so
what
hard.
Am I going to do with this stimulus check?
Well, I don't think it's not the stimulus check. It's the guys with, like, millions and millions of dollars, and they're like, this is just my fun money. Like, 90% is, you know, in stocks and bonds and the traditional investments, but yeah. this 10 million here, that's just my fun money, so I'm gonna buy Bitcoin and NFTs and it'll be so much fun.
You don't sound sour at all.
No, it's not a sour thing. I think it's one of the number one problems with our society right now, the inequality. Not to get too serious.
Yeah, we're getting off the rails here.
Dom. Well, it is. Okay. All right. I won't. I'll keep it to hockey. Keep it to hockey. Waddy and Cloverdale. I'll keep it to hockey and naps because he says what we learned. I learned that Brough likes to take a sunshine nap just like my cat. Yeah. And I took that nap with a cat.
By the way, okay. So I wanted to ask you about this. I took my first midday nap post show.
Do you feel like garbage after?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible, eh?
Does that ever go away?
Halford can nap and doesn't feel groggy after. No, that's why I try not to nap.
Right?
Yeah. Your afternoon is honestly ruined because you'll be in the worst mood.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like.
I'd rather go to bed early and not nap.
I felt like garbage after that nap, and then I learned of the Tanner Pearson contract.
Oh.
Didn't help.
Double whammy.
Didn't help. We've had a bunch of texts like this in today onto the show. This is Will in downtown. And he says, my dad and I are done. 20-year diehard fans. We cannot continue to support a franchise that blatantly refuses to be honest with itself and their fans. Tired of incompetence and managing straight into disasters, we are becoming Kraken fans. Never another dollar from us. Okay. I've had a few people on Twitter ask me, is it okay to resign as a Canucks fan? And obviously it is, but I don't know. This is part of being a Canucks fan.
You also can't disappointment. Jump back on the bandwagon in the good
Once
times.
You've resigned, you're done.
Yeah.
You don't get, can I come back? No. No, you can't.
So, for example, before you and Mike arrived, Riccio was a staunch Miami Dolphins fan. Mm-hmm. And he had a similar situation where he had just given up and said, nope, I am now a Seattle Seahawks fan. And that's been going for 2 years. And all of a sudden, the Seahawks are dipping and the Dolphins are on the rise.
That's the risk.
And now everyone's saying, you can't go back. You're now a Seahawks fan. You can't go back.
Like, I've lived long enough as a Canucks fan. I'm not giving up. I'm not.
Yeah, it seems like a waste if you did.
I mean, my life has been wasted.
No,
for sure.
Your
but,
fandom.
No, I agree. I agree with your point there, and thank you for pointing that out.
Like, you invest so much emotion into it to just throw it all away after how many years?
Yeah.
Seems pointless now.
Aaron in Kelowna, what we learned, Bruff needs to pony up and start buying grass-fed organic butter. Won't have any issues with non-melting butter again. Okay, I'll do it.
Is your butter spreading?
No.
It's still not. Nothing, eh?
No. And I love to spread some butter on my toast before the jam, as you know.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone disagreed with you on that.
That's fine.
Everyone disagreed with you.
The contrarian opinion on this.
You're like Jim Benning. Everyone is disagreeing with you.
Yeah. I don't know if butter and jam is the same as overpaying for Tanner Pearson. It doesn't seem like that big of a reach.
Lucas the Fuel Guy. Not a what we learned, but I like this. I like this text. The fact that the draft and develop guy has never tried to get more draft picks is all you need to know about this management group. I agree. I think if you look back at the number of draft picks that the Canucks have had, and they've traded a few of them away, too, quite quickly, too. Like Jared McCann got traded away quite quickly. He's playing quite well for Pittsburgh right now, and he's still a young guy. Wouldn't Jared McCann be a welcome? Is Jared McCann a superstar? No. But he'd fit into the Canucks lineup right now. He's playing a lot better from what I've heard from my friends in Pittsburgh. Yeah, the Canucks did not ever really lean into being on the downside of their competitive cycle. There are advantages to being on the downside of the competitive cycle. There's not the pressure to win. Fans are pretty educated. They understand competitive cycles. They saw that the Sedins were getting older and, you know, Kessler's left. And they saw that the team was on the downswing. And instead of leaning into that and going, okay, without the pressure to win, we can start selling off some assets and accumulate draft picks, et cetera, et cetera. They fought against it. And it's like that Warren Buffett quote, when you find yourself in a hole, the key is stop digging, right? And they didn't do that because the only answer I can give you is because ownership wants to be in the playoffs every year. And that's what they tell their management. I remember when Jim Benning was first hired, or maybe he was in his second year, Mike and I had a sit down with him because we had just started writing for The Athletic. And we asked him about, you know, like, why are you signing these guys, or why are you making these trades to make the team better right now when you could be looking 3-4 years down the line and trying to target a sweet spot down the line when you would be kind of locked and loaded with a bunch of good young players. And then you could start spending on some veterans. And he said, well, when you sit in this chair, it's tough because you have season ticket holders who, when they go to the rink, they want to be entertained. And part of that entertainment is having a competitive team. And that extends from ownership. And that's the season-to-season business realities of a hockey team. Jim Benning is going to talk to the media today, 10 a.m. Should be some tough questions for Jim. Um, We've got time on the other side for a few more Ask Us Anything. So let's leave on a funny note. Send in a good Ask Us Anything, a good funny Ask Us Anything. And I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability. On the other side, Halford and Brough, Sportsnet 650. Is this for me, Dom?
It is. Thanks, happy buddy. Birthday, Jason.
Thanks. Birthdays are bad news, I think, as you get older. I don't like them. I don't care for them.
It's an excuse to drink.
So is every day. NHL trade deadline coverage is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor with locations across Western Canada. Purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at Sherritt.com. Greg and Lad Wasson. Bruff, you need to work on your clock management. Yeah. And he goes, in a 15-minute What We Learned segment, you read two. I don't necessarily need to hear mine, but want to hear a bunch of what other listeners are thinking too. I think I've read quite a few texts in the Dunbar Lumber text line today. I don't, that last segment might have not have been my best. But I think I've given quite a bit of love to the text inbox today.
You have. And I don't think it's solely on you. When Mike is here, we still only get to like three tops.
Yeah. Ask Us Anything. Would you trade Dom for Kletch? Yeah, probably.
Okay. With cash considerations or without?
Straight up, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, kickback. Okay.
Yeah. You could go to accounting school. Oh, that's what Kletch is doing, by the way. He's becoming an accountant.
A CPA.
Yeah.
Good for him. Well, job security.
Mm-hmm.
Financial freedom.
Oh, there's always jobs for accountants.
Yeah.
Kletch should go back to Three Hills. The Alberta town he's from. And
just thrive.
Yeah. Just McCletchy's. You wouldn't even be able to call it like accounting. It would just be like McCletchy's Number Counting. Limited. People walk in and be like, I need some numbers added up. Kletch could charge them. Ask Us Anything. Do you miss Moj? I really miss Moj.
Huh?
Yeah. I love Moj. Moj is hilarious. I kind of miss crossovers, actually. Why don't we do crossovers?
Because there's no one in the building.
No, but did we, like, post-COVID, will there be crossovers?
I don't think so. We could try and make it work.
Yeah.
We could bring in Rintoul and Sermon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could try and make
that's
that
how
work.
You get the show banter going.
I mean, we've got good
it's also how you create anyway. Rivalries, like Moj and Sakaris, when they would go back and forth with each other.
That's
it's
fair
like
enough.
It's like, these two do not like each other.
But don't you think we have a good thing going with the Peep Show? Like, there is some banter there.
Yeah, I guess. Robin the Super. A lot of questions like this. Ask Us Anything. So first off, Morning Nerds minus one. Jason, are you or are you not going to re-energize your banter with the Sakaris and Price Show? I feel like you guys have been told not to give them any free advertising. That's not true.
They're not really competition, too. They're their own entity.
Well, are they, though? Because they do a live show now.
Fair, but it's more like their competition on like the podcast charts. They're not really competition in terms of radio.
Anyway, we'll see. We'll see what the corporate overlords think.
Sure.
I know their strategy is very anti-corporate, which is a good idea, to differentiate themselves from, obviously, their old employer and us. We should be very corporate.
Come in with suits and ties.
Yeah. And differentiate ourselves. Like, I don't have time to have banter with the Sakaris and Price Show because I have a number of forms to fill out. I don't know, something like that. We got a few more flagged in here. See, this is no different than going through the inbox with Halford, because Halford never reads anything from the inbox because he never has anything flagged. And I like this Ask Us Anything. I'll be honest with you. Ask Us Anything. Should Halford get another healthy scratch on Monday? Bruff is like a new colt. He's finally getting his legs under him. And Dom is finding his voice. Let the young guys develop. Yeah, is Halford basically a bloated contract at this point? I know he's bloated.
Wow.
I don't know if he's a bloated contract yet, though. No, I can't wait to have Halford back.
Neither can I.
Yeah. That's part of our show. Like, it's the chemistry. I miss being, you know, I miss laughing with him. He's a funny guy. I miss being mean to him. That's part of the whole thing.
You have 2 minutes, by the way, before I have to get out.
2 minutes?
2 minutes.
That's what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay. I like this one from Ty the Goalie. This sums it up, doesn't it? Jason, can you explain why we keep doing this to ourselves? Hashtag ask us anything. Hashtag spit on me. Do you mean following the Canucks? Do you mean even though you may live in the house of negativity, you've got a little shed out back where there still lives some optimism, some hope that this thing can turn around? And every once in a while, when you get tired of living in the house of negativity, you're like, honey, I'll be right back. I'm just going out to the shed. And maybe you drink a little in the shed and have a little hope. Is that what you mean? Ty the Goalie? Or maybe you go to the shed for a little spit on me. Dom, play the clip. How is it not in your hotkeys?
It is.
Is it not in your hotkeys? Yes, I would trade Dom for Kletch.
Spit on me. Oh, that's nice. Now tell me I'm scum.
Okay.
You love that clip too much, by the way. Too much.
It perfectly encapsulates being a
By the way, before
fan.
We get out, I have a live phone call of you and Mike last night.
Hell, I need you. I'm a mess without you. I miss you so damn much. I miss being with you. I miss being near you. I miss your laugh.
I miss his musk. All right, so next week is going to be an interesting week on the Halford and Brough Show. Of course, it will be post. Well, Monday is the trade deadline. So we'll have that. We'll be able to look back at Masters weekend and everything that happened down in Georgia. Trade deadline, post-trade deadline. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. This is when I have to stop talking.